This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com.
Right now, we are joined by Corey McCartney of ESPN. Or I say ESPN. My bad, dude. Sorry about that. Fox Sports. I already disrespected you. I apologize. Fox Sports and Chopcast Live. And before I ask you about Chopcast Live, man, I have to ask because we just had a phone call here just a second ago of a guy that said that he had two buddies that got into a fight over which defense was better between Alabama's 09 and 2012 defense. Have you ever seen somebody get into a fight over a sports argument?
Oh, yeah. I grew up in Ohio, around Columbus, and I went to college in Northwest Ohio, which is much closer to the Michigan border. So I've seen a lot of Ohio State-Michigan flaps over the years of that question.
Better question maybe, have you ever gotten into a fight over a sports argument?
No. I think you know, you're probably a lot like me. You were a huge sports fan when you were a kid, and then when you get into the business, it's like they always say you see how the sausage is made, and you kind of – you don't become a fan of much anymore.
Yeah,
so you watch it from that 10,000-foot view.
Do you find it hard too to really get into something like that? Like, I mean, like you're watching things, and you're like, okay, yeah, that's pretty cool. Like the fandom kind of gets drugged down a little bit because you do see so much.
Oh no, without question. Which is kind of why I've kind of allowed myself to get a little bit more into like international soccer. Because I'm never going to cover the Premier League, you know. But I can't feel like I did when I was 12 years old watching college football or watching a baseball game. It's just that's no longer part of the equation.
I think for me, I think that may be the reason why I do get into hockey because I do notice certain things. Like I do notice, you know, I don't know certain plays or anything like that, but I can still have that fandom. I mean, you know, when you know, you and I both know when you're looking for a job at some point in time, I got a call offer, a call one time and a guy wanted to interview me from Buffalo. And he's like, so how much you know about football? I was like, oh, I can tell you anything about the Buffalo Bills. He's like, so what about the Sabres? I'm like, they play hockey and they're you know, it's on ice. Like, you know, I know that much. And I went, you know what, I kind of like that there's one sport that I can just sit back and truly be a fan of and not know the X's and O's and, oh, you're doing this wrong and, oh, you're doing this right. I mean, you know, for you, when you're sitting there watching Braves games now, you look at it differently than what you did whenever you were up in Ohio or up in Michigan.
Oh, and without question, you know, and you start to pick it apart in a different way. And, you know, that's why I watch wrestling so much now, is just because I can kind of allow myself to get caught up in nonsense as opposed to trying to analyze something the whole time it's going on.
You know, I really wish I was like that on that. But now, I sit there and because I don't know if it's because I follow too much. Like, you know, I see you have like 803 followers, so are that you're following, and I don't know if any of those are like the wrestling information sites that'll shoot tweets out like talking about when like Braun Strowman got injured and that sort of stuff. But to an extent, like the business side of it. Like the last time, like, let me ask you this because we're talking about wrestling now. The last time that you literally was surprised by something in wrestling?
When I was at WrestleMania and the Hardy Boys came out.
That was the one I was going to say. That was the one.
Yeah. And yeah, by the way, there was a guy in front of us, the row in front of us at WrestleMania, literally passed out when the Hardys came out and the paramedics had to come over. I don't know if he was drunk and he flipped or what, but the sense of everyone around us was that this guy was so surprised that he literally passed out and paramedics had to come take care of him.
You know, as I asked you the question, for mine, the last time seriously was the Hardy Boys. Like it was funny because I was in Panama City. We're giving away these 3-day, 2-night trips in Panama City Beach, and I was down there doing the show, and I had the PlayStation on, but I was on the Wi-Fi, and you know how it digitizes so much? And so like it was like grainy, but I'm sitting there and I'm watching it. It's, you know, again, it's like watching that no channel, the channel you're not supposed to when you're just like 7 years old.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't know what's going on, but I can hear something, and I heard the music, and I was out on the balcony, and I ran in from the balcony. I'm like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god.
Yeah. it was crazy. That was the last time I was truly surprised by any of those things.
So how, now that we've talked about that, with you doing Chopcast Live, like is the entire city of Atlanta in mourning right now, or how's it going over there?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, the Braves clubhouse yesterday, it was very somber, and then being in the press conference with Freddie Freeman and John Hart and John Coppola, it was it was a lot of like 10,000 yard stares and just kind of that sense that, man, this is literally the worst thing that could have happened to us as far as them their perspective happened to them. And you know, now trying to pick up the pieces and move on and try to find some, you know, resemblance of offense at a spot where someone you just playing at the highest level of his career. You know, 224 weighted run created plus this last month. You know, the highest of his career, just an MVP level. You can't replace that, and I think it's just a realization that this season just took a turn that they were hoping it wasn't going to at this early stage.
And I know that a lot of Braves fans were, you know, just like you talking about with football, like there's seasons that you go into it and you go, okay, I know that we're going to suck. Like, I know that we are. I'm not going to get into it. I'm not going to get excited about anything. And then you start seeing Freddie Freeman doing what he's doing. And as a Braves fan, you go, oh, that's pretty good. And then you start seeing his face on, you know, on Fox Sports and the website. And you start going, wait a second. They're talking about how he's one of the best hitters in baseball, and you start looking at it from a different perspective, and then this happens, and you're like, you know, I seriously just got into the season. Like, I was just starting to go, well, hold on a second. If he keeps playing this way, we get the pitchers to turn around. Like, there's a wild card berth, and then now it's like, well, all right, well, I guess. I mean, I don't know what to do. Like, that really was the feeling here. Like, we have people that are walking up and down the halls, and it was just that 14,000 foot look, like, I don't know what to do now. Like, I don't know what to do for the rest of my baseball season because my team is done.
And one of the questions that I'm really trying to figure out now, and we talked a little bit with John Hart about this yesterday, but, you know, for them, for the Braves, when you try to reach out at this point and try to find a replacement for Freddie Freeman, the market is very different in May than it is in July because everybody feels like they're still in it at this point, right? So if you make phone calls now, it's a completely different reaction than what happens if it's closer to the deadline. But if you're because everybody else feels they're still in it, the Braves now are in an interesting spot because, you know, it's very unlikely at this point that they're going to be able to get into the wild card mix, especially with their best player out. So Right. Do they become sellers at an earlier stage? I think that's a big question, too. As you kind of set things up over what's going to happen over these next 10 weeks.
Well, and I was thinking, you know, All-Star game as well. Normally, if it wouldn't have been Freddie Freeman, it would have been Julio Teheran. That would have been the automatic guy as well. And I wonder now, because of the signing of James Loney, like, automatically Braves fans are going, all right, well, they've got somebody and all that. But what about the depth in the minor leagues? Like, you know, Braves fans were already paying attention to what was going on in Gwinnett and already going on in Mississippi. But now it's like, okay, I really need to see, like, is there anybody at first base? And then they sign James Loney and they go, okay, are they going with Loney? Are they going to bring somebody up from Gwinnett and they just don't know? Is the covered bear? Is this a money ball situation because you had Ron Washington out and, you know, working with guys at first base? Like, what is the first base situation in the farm system, period, for the Atlanta Braves?
The cupboard is bare, and it's one of those situations where, like, you know, to kind of equate it to college football, if you've got Jalen Hurts, you're not going to go out and get a quarterback for the next couple classes because he's going to be blocked, right? So the Braves have not necessarily addressed the depth of first base in the minor league system because, you know, you're not going to waste a high draft pick on something like that because you've got a guy that's under contract, you know, through 2022, and, you know, you're just not going to invest a lot there. That the flip side of that is you get a situation like this, and, you know, they went out and signed Sean Rodriguez back in the winter, and, of course, he plays everywhere, but then he got in a car accident, and that, to me, is the domino that's kind of set the stage for everything else to happen, because he goes down, you have to go out and get Brandon Phillips. But if they had him, they could have plugged him all over the place. At this point, talking to, you know, the front office guys yesterday, it's what looks to be happening is you bring in James Loney, yeah, but it's probably going to be a mixture of James Loney and Rio Ruiz and Jace Peterson, maybe a little bit of Nick Markakis and Johan Camargo. It's going to be a little bit of that mixture of guys at first. I don't think they have anyone in particular they feel that can truly shoulder the load. It's going to be just a lot of mix and match, I think, over these next couple months.
I hate the fact that I'm about to ask this question, but I know that you mentioned it just a few seconds ago. With the Atlanta Braves, and now we're just now about to get into June. We're getting 2.5 months away from the trade deadline. I mean, does now Freddie Freeman being injured, does that now put the Braves in a spot where they could be looking at trying to get rid of somebody like a Matt Kemp, or even seeing if Julio would potentially go somewhere to start thinking about the future, because Matt Kemp is starting to hit very well for the Atlanta Braves?
If I were looking at potential pieces and you're ranking the most to least likely of guys to leave Atlanta, I think, first of all, you've got to look at the guys on short-term contracts. So, of course, you've got the three pitchers that they brought in this offseason. I know none of them pitching particularly well at this point, but I think there's an opportunity and time for them to spin that around. So you've got Jaime Garcia, Bartolo Colon, and R.A. Dickey. And then when you're looking at position guys, of course, Brandon Phillips, they're paying him next to nothing.
Yep.
Because the Reds picked up $13 million. of his contract. The Braves had to pay, I believe it's around $800,000 in penalty if they trade him, but he is making so little from the Braves' end because the Reds are picking up so much. So I think he's likely. And I think Nick Markakis, who has another year of $11 million and probably prorated about, you know, 4 or 5 this year, those guys to me are most likely to go. I think Kemp is not going anywhere because he is making a ton of money through these next 2 seasons. And I think, you know, Julio, the value home-wise has just been deflated the last year and a half. So I would be stunned if they went, but those short-term contract guys to me are the ones that are most likely to be gone.
What is going on? And I mean, again, you know, for batters, and whenever you talk about the transition from Fulton County Stadium to Turner Field, they didn't know how it was going to go from a batting standpoint. But from a pitching standpoint, like, he can't blame this on the new stadium, right? Like, is this a mental thing, or what's going on with Julio Teheran?
I think it's definitely a mental thing because it didn't just happen here. It happened at Turner Field last year, too. And you look over the past year plus, he's 60th in baseball among all starters in home ERA. On the away, he's the second best this year and fourth best over the last year plus. So he's just not getting it done at home. And a lot of it is he has an elevated fly ball rate at home. There's guys who have pitched really well at SunTrust Park this year. Steven Strasburg, Max Scherzer, Lance Lynn, and Marcus Stroman, and every one of them had a ground ball rate of 50%, near 60% or higher. Stroman was 80% last night. Julio has struggled with that, and this park and Turner Field, you can't keep the ball down and pitch to contact a pitcher. You're going to get yourself in trouble, and that's what we've seen from Teheran.
Last thing on Julio before we wrap up is the conversation is all day is the fact that he hit Jose Bautista. I love the fact that from a locker room standpoint, he missed the first time, he did it again, it's over with, it's done with, everybody moved on. But what is the sentiment in Atlanta? Is it the same thing as that, or is it one of those like, hey, you should have just done it once and just moved on?
No, I think the sentiment was that it needed to be done, and it's okay, you had to do it a second time, but you got it done. And I found it interesting that, you know, it was reported before yesterday's game that the umpires did not issue warnings to either side because I think they were basically saying, okay, we know something's going to happen. Get it over with. Let's move on. And I found it interesting that that's exactly what happened, that there was no other bad blood, especially as things started to get, you know, out of hand.
Yeah.
In that game, you had the Braves' best pitcher on the mound just getting roughed up. I thought the Braves handled it well from an end of not feeding more into it as the game went on.
Well, and I started talking yesterday. I was actually, shocked that it did happen. I didn't expect anything to happen just because of what happened between Kurt Suzuki and with Jose Bautista when Suzuki said something. I saw Bautista apologizing, like, yeah, you know, that's my bad. I shouldn't have done that. Like, you know, that sort of thing. And I went, okay, well, he apologized. But then I was like, you know, I don't think anything was going to happen. But when it did, I went, you know what? Good. It's over with. Everybody's done. These teams aren't going to play each other again for like 2 or 3 years. So,
yeah.
You know, it's not like it's a big deal about it. But with this pitching staff, and final question that I've got for you tonight is, you know, between Colon and Julio and R.A. Dickey and Fultonevich and Garcia, which one of these starters do you think is going to start taking it and become the ace of this baseball team? Or is there going to be somebody that's going to take it and become the ace?
As much as they want it to be Julio Teheran, and as much as he kind of has that mentality, I really do think it's Mike Fultonevich. I think this is a guy who's starting to come into his own. I actually spent quite a deal of time with him today working on a piece for a feature for the next Chopcast Live. I think he's finding himself, and he's getting to a point where he's overcoming starts that maybe don't start the way that he wants them to. You know, he's a guy that, you know, obviously everything he wants is based on fastball command, and his breaking stuff is really only effective if he has complete fastball command. But I think he's getting himself to a point where he can rely a lot more on those secondary pitches. And if you look at where he's getting his strikeouts in the 2 strike counts this season, a lot of those you're seeing an elevated use of the slider, and you're seeing the fastball used a lot less. So I think this is a guy who's getting a lot more comfortable. Marty Reed, who's the Braves' bullpen coach this year and former AAA pitching coach, said the last time he was around an arm, he's been around for a long time, the last time he was around an arm that he could compare to Fultonevich was Clayton Kershaw. So I think you have to, I mean, I know he's not the name that everyone pulls out as being this team's ace, but do not be surprised if maybe in 2 years we're talking about him potentially being like a top 10 pitcher in all of baseball.
Heck, it may be just because half the people can't pronounce it. That makes sense. All right, final question for you, because you mentioned it. Chopcast Live, you and I were talking about it off the air. I seriously just ran across this show the other night, and I'm sitting there and I'm going, first off, you're doing it in the baseballism t-shirt, the 6+4+3=2, loved it. But at the same time, I mean, how did this show get going? I mean, I know that you guys just started it this season, right?
Yeah, we've been doing the Chopcast podcast for 5 seasons now, and just kind of took off to the point where, you know, the powers that be at Fox Sports South were like, we need to see if we can turn this into a TV show. Baseballism is actually our sponsor, so they outfit us for all the shows. Yeah, I'd say it's us on one side, Zach Dillard and myself, and on the other is Braves batting practice. You know, this next show, we actually have Jeff Francoeur as one of our guests. We have a feature with Mike Fultonevich. It's our podcast on air. We just tried to have some fun with it, try to dig a little bit deeper into the numbers and get into a side of Braves baseball that I know a lot of fans are really into and not necessarily isn't always part of our Braves broadcast.
That's awesome, man. Hey, congratulations on that. I mean, you've been doing so much for Fox Sports South. I've been talking to you for years, and I appreciate you coming on, man, because you're starting to move up, man. I appreciate you still coming on.
Absolutely, man. And we'll be on this next Wednesday.
Okay.
It used to be 6 o'clock Eastern, so 7 o'clock for you guys. You'll be able to check us on for a full hour, so check it out. It's also on Facebook Live.
Okay.
You can get on there and write random comments to us.
Awesome, man. All right, we'll be paying attention. Chopcast Live is going to be on next Wednesday starting at 7 o'clock, man. We'll be watching for it, all right?
All right, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Hey, have a great one, man. That is Corey McCartney of Fox Sports Southeast.
240-9274. 1-800-239-9544. Let your voice be heard. This is The Fallout on Sports Radio 740.